2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Chapter 8, and from verse 1 of 2 Corinthians, right through to the end of chapter 9, speaks about one particular theme, which I suppose makes us all feel a bit uncomfortable. And it is the theme of our givings to the cause of Christ in this world. The collection that you and I put into the plate every Lord's Day, it has to be preached on. And I don't say I find it comfortable preaching on it. But it is part of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul here had already given the Church of Corinth some advice with regard to the collection in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. That upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him as the Lord hath prospered him. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul makes an appeal to the Corinthians to finish off a collection that they had started for the saints in Jerusalem, where there was great poverty at the time. It was for the benefits of the Lord's cause in Jerusalem. And in doing so, he encourages the Corinthians to follow the example set by the churches of Macedonia. Chapter 8 here and verse 1. Now, Macedonia was a wide, wide region. It included many churches. It included the church in Galatia. It included the church in Corinth, in Berea, in Thessalonica. It included various churches. It was a huge district. The church in Macedonia included a lot of different churches. And that church in Macedonia had set a good example to the Corinthians of their own willingness to give to the Lord's cause, to give to the cause of Christ. And Paul is saying that their willingness to give to the cause of Christ was even more commendable because of the actual circumstances that the churches in Macedonia themselves were in at that time. He tells us here in verse 2 that the church in Macedonia, chapter 8, that they were in the midst of a great trial of affliction. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And that made their givings even more remarkable. We've got three brief points here this Sabbath morning. First of all, we've got good givers to the cause of Christ. Good givers to the cause of Christ. Then, secondly, we've got a question. How much do we give to the cause of Christ? And then thirdly and finally, Paul brings in, with a spiritual mind, the best giver of all, the best example of giving, which is our text here today. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. See how Paul, the great spirituality of the man, brings a money matter into the Word of God and applies it by bringing the giving of Jesus Christ himself as the great sacrificial giver for the sins of the world. For the sins of the world. First of all, then, a good giver, as the churches in Macedonia were good givers. It cannot be denied that our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will be reflected in what you and I put into our free will offering envelope every Lord's Day. Because giving is the highest expression of love. You know that we read in the Gospels, in John's Gospel and chapter 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, tells us that Christ loved him. And then what? That Christ gave himself for him. There can hardly be a higher expression of love than to give. There cannot be a better and a more evident expression of love than to give. Paul again tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How do we know Christ loves the church? Well, Paul tells us Christ gave himself for it. That is the evidence of Christ's love for the church. And that's true of the church here in Macedonia too. Christ gave himself for that church. Paul tells us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we were saying, that their givings to the cause of Christ abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And the givings of the church in Macedonia were so remarkable. When you consider their own personal circumstances at this time, and the straits and the situation that they themselves were in, because they weren't exactly well off themselves. They weren't what you would call rolling in it, far from it. It was a time of great persecution and affliction. They had been receiving ill treatment themselves from their many enemies, from enemies of the gospel. And as the Saviour reminds us, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And that's similar to what we have here in verse 2, that as a result of persecution, they had been brought to poverty in the churches of Macedonia. But at the same time, they had an abundance of joy, we read. They had an abundance of joy. And what's he saying then here? What's he saying? Well, he's saying this, that you would think in their circumstances, with all these persecutions and being brought to poverty, and all that they had to endure, that they would not have the means to try to support anybody else at this particular time. And that's very often how you and I think. I have hardly anything to spare for myself, let alone for anybody else. Isn't that the way you and I think? Very often. I have so many needs of my own. I've got so many bills to pay. I cannot afford to be thinking about the church at this time. I need to think about myself and my own needs. We all talk in that way. I'm in a poor state compared to others. That's what we say. That we hardly have a penny to spare. I need to keep working as much as I can to get money for this, money for that, and money for the next thing. And once I've got what I want, then whatever's left over, I'll shove it into the envelope. I'll shove it into my church envelope, whatever's left over. Is that what you and I do? Is it the leftovers of your loose change that you and I throw into the church envelope from week to week? Is it? Do we ever consider in what manner and with what spirit you put your money and I put my money into our envelope? Paul tells us here, as he told the Romans, that in the midst of their persecutions and their poverty, they had an abundance of joy. They rejoiced in their tribulations, and their persecutions didn't make them bitter in any way towards anyone, and particularly not towards the Lord's cause in any way, shape or form. That's certainly not the attitude that we have here from the churches of Macedonia. We read that they have an abundance of joy, even although, as we read in verse 2, they were in deep poverty. Deep poverty. Now the words there, deep poverty, mean that they were at the very bottom of their own resources. They had reached the very bottom, as it were, of their own resources. Yet even in such circumstances, we read that they abounded in their liberality. We read that they abounded in their liberality. It's as if they had been rich. Even in their poverty, they gave what they could. Sometimes we tend to be far too careful with our own money. Sometimes we contemplate what we might need our money for in the days to come, rather than leaning upon the Lord to provide for us. And we're thinking about what we're going to use our money for. And the last thing, if we think of it at all, is if we're going to give any at all to the church. Well, that's not the spirit of the Church of Macedonia. They were good givers. But secondly here, there's a question. How much do we give? How much do we give? We read here in verse 3 of chapter 8 that the church in Macedonia was willing to go beyond their power or their ability or their means to support the cause of Christ. There was a willingness and a readiness to go beyond even what was expected of them to give. And there's a lesson here for each of us today. It's not so much how much do you and I put into our envelope. It's not so much how much you and I can give. But how much do we give in relation to what we have? How much do we give in relation to our own personal circumstances? And the Lord himself tells us that the widow's mite in the Gospels was worth far more to him than the much that others were putting in to the plate. Because others were only giving out of the great abundance that they had, whereas she gave all that she had. Now, we're not saying we're not thankful for people giving a lot. There are good givers in this congregation, and we are conscious, very conscious indeed, that we are also paying up a manse every month. We know there is a lot required. We're not doubting that for one minute. But you look at that widow's mite. The value of what she put in was far more to the Lord than what others put in. It's not so much how much we put in, but the spirit with which we put it in. It's more to do with the spirit. Do you ever think of what you put into the envelope from week to week? Has it just become a habit, in other words, to put in the same amount week after week, year after year? You know and I know, costs are rising all the time. You know and I know that we need to have our own wage increase from time to time with inflation and with the cost of living. And that is true with regards to what we put into our church envelope too. Maybe you've always put in the same amount, even for the last 20 or 30 years. Maybe you've not thought about it very much. Maybe you've not thought it very important. But it is. And it's part of the expression of the love that we have for the Lord and for his cause. To give. To give. With what spirit do we fill our own free will offering envelope every Lord's Day? Rather than sticking rigidly to the same amount every week, I would appeal to you to take more consideration over it and to be a wee bit more thoughtful as to what you put in and how you put it in. Try to make a thoughtful and conscientious contribution to the Lord's cause. It's amazing what we'll spend on other things. How far we'll go, and how long we'll save. I remember in my own young days, as a 17-year-old, putting a £20 note in every week to the Lord's cause. I remember our own previous generations, beginning at the start of the week, putting money aside for the Lord's cause. And maybe some of you do too. The Lord's cause is still important. We've done a lot in this building to make this building more comfortable. We put up a partition here, making this sanctuary area smaller and warmer with it. We've put up blinds in the church. We've got two extra rooms behind the partition. We've put in a toilet. We've painted the building on the outside. There's costs, you know. There's costs. I remember the days when I could buy a bag of crisps for 12 pence. You can't buy a bag of crisps now for less than £1. A daily newspaper, a quality newspaper, costs at least £1.20. A cup of coffee and a scone from a cafe will cost you £3 or £4. How much do we give? Do you and I give? What about electricity? What about the insurance for the building? Costs are going up. We now have to pay water charges for fitting a toilet. We have to meet all these expenses. And I know we can do it. I know we can do it. It's the spirit with which you and I put into our envelope that is most important here. And you ask yourself, and me with you, with what spirit do I put my amount into the envelope? You enjoy the benefits of the work that has been done to the church, the benefits of the warmth in this building through the winter months. You enjoy it as much as others. Let's all contribute as much as others. If we're enjoying these benefits ourselves. How much do we give? Thirdly and finally here. The best giver. Typical of Paul, isn't it? The great spirituality of the man. He brings our givings to the cause of Christ, unto the very Christ himself. And he makes him the example in the way that he gave so sacrificially his life unto death. He makes that the example for our giving to his cause. The love of Christ in giving himself unto death for sinners is the most powerful motive that you and I have to give to the cause of Christ. To give faithfully, to give genuinely, and to give lovingly, with thoughtfulness and consideration. Look at verse 7 here of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He's telling these Corinthians who were holding back from putting into the collection, he's telling them that you now abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love. Then he goes on to say this very interestingly, see that ye abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. That's a grace. He calls it a grace, the grace of giving. And it's in grace that there is salvation. The grace of God provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And if Christ giving himself for a sinful world doesn't motivate you and me to give to his cause more generously, nothing will. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is saying. And he says here in verse 9 that he was rich. That he was rich. In what way can we say that he was rich? He was rich with the glory of his everlasting Father in heaven. The eternal Son of the Father in truth and love. And yet for our sakes he became poor. That's the greatest sacrifice that has ever been made. Yes, men have sacrificed their lives for country and for kith and kin, but Christ has sacrificed his life for the world. For the world. He who was rich became poor. In what way did he become poor? Well, you know that when he came from heaven to earth, he was born into poverty as a man. As a man. And it's not just that he was born into bodily poverty, so that he had nowhere to lay his head. The foxes had holes and the birds of the air had nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. It's not only his bodily poverty, but think of the poverty of the soul of Christ. The poverty of the soul of Christ. What poverty he was brought to when he cried in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the greatest poverty of all. Greatest poverty of all. But you'll notice that it was out of that poverty that sinners like you and I have been made rich. It was out of that poverty that sinners have been made rich. There's always a cost. There was a cost In order to save sinners, you are redeemed not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And it's in sacrificial love that Christ gave himself up to the cross of Christ, that to the cross at Calvary for sinners. And it's in sacrificial love that the churches of Macedonia gave to the cause of Christ what they could give. What they could give. The Macedonians were suffering and brought to poverty, but so was Christ. And they both gave sacrificially. And whatever our circumstances are, our personal, financial circumstances are, we are to give sacrificially to the cause of the Lord. To the cause of the Lord. Paul takes up two whole chapters. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 on this particular matter. It is important. It is important for the well-being of us all to support his cause as he hath prospered us. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray.